Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
John chapter 5. Here we go. Now we're in our series called Believe, and today we're talking about believe that you can be well. Amen. That you can be well. And you know, there's many different things that cause us not to be well. Is that Billy Joe? Tell him it's my turn, right? But there's many ways that cause us not to be part of our lives. There's sickness. And how many know sickness, it robs you. And I think especially in America, and you know, you can take this, leave it, but I think in our country especially, how many know as soon as you start seeing something being built on the corner of an intersection, what is the first thing you think it is? It's either a Walgreens or it's a CVS. Now, I have shared my wonder at Walgreens and CVS many times. I think they're taking over. Seriously. I mean, how many of those can we possibly support? Don't you ever wonder that? But what is their number one income? Drugs through the pharmacy, number one thing. And so, legal drugs, of course. Thank you. Devon's like, Angel's like, legal drugs. Legal drugs. But the thing is that, you know, I think that we've become comfortable, in a way, with sickness. It is so a part of so many people's lives. And it's not like, oh, you're such a loser because you're sick. No, that's not what we're saying. But we need to look at sickness for what it is. Sickness is not a lesson or a tool from God. It is not that. Sickness is always, the root of it is an attack of the enemy. Every time, all the time. And so when we see sickness, we love sick people. Listen, you know, everybody gets sick occasionally. Everybody, you know, the cold, allergies, whatever. But even allergies, you know, we start saying, oh, it's my allergies. And things like that. We need to switch our mindset and get it back to where it belongs, where this is not supposed to be part of my life. This is not how my body is designed to work. My body is not designed to work dependent on drugs. It's not. And I'm not saying don't take medicine. Liz, I'm not saying that at all. God uses medicine to meet us where we're at and help us get through things. But the ultimate desire needs to be for wellness. Amen. Amen? Wellness that comes from God. And so we really need to look at sickness for what it is. It is an attack of the enemy. It is rooted in the enemy's plans to steal money from you. How many would like to have all that money we spend on prescriptions and co-pays and doctor bills and all that? Listen, I'd much rather spend that money on something else. Wouldn't you? I'd much rather go to the mall with that money. Amen. I'd much rather go on vacation with that money. And it's just one more tool, one more way the enemy steals. And so when we look at it, we need to look at it with the eyes of God. And we need to realize that that is not God's will. That God's will is for us to be blessed and whole. Amen? Blessed and whole. And we're not going to get into all, you know, there's natural things that we can do that are our responsibility. We can do to take care of ourselves. How many say, I already know that? You don't need me to tell you that. I don't need you to tell me that. I already know. All right? We already know, but there are some things we've just got to look at it for what it is. Sickness robs us of time, robs us of money, robs us of joy, robs us of opportunities. You ever missed out on something because you were sick? You got robbed of that. And so we've got to believe, say believe.
Believe.
You got to believe that you can be well. Amen? We've got to remind ourselves constantly that Jesus is a healer. That his word, you know, that's why I say that almost every Sunday, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, that when the word of God penetrates deep within your heart, it brings health to your body. Amen? God's word heals. Jesus heals. God's will is for healing. And if you ever have a question of what God's will is, go back to the Lord's Prayer. When the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. What did he teach him? How many know it? Our Father which art in heaven, right? But remember this line. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you ever wonder, like, is healing God's will, ask yourself, do you think there's sickness in heaven? No. If you ask yourself, do you think it's God's will for you to be blessed financially? Well, ask yourself, is there lack in heaven?
No.
No, so there shouldn't be lack in your life here either. Because God's will is the same here as it is in heaven. And so if you ever wonder, like, well, is that God's will? Ask yourself, would this fly in heaven? You're like, is this okay to do? Would you do it in heaven? Right? You know, and we're not going to be angels. You know, some people think that we're going to turn into little baby angels and play the harp and float around on clouds. We are not. That is not what heaven is like. You're going to be you in heaven, just like you're you here. And God has one will. He has a will in heaven, and it's the same will on earth. And so when we talk about healing, but we've got to believe. You know, this whole series that we're doing is strengthening our beliefs. Last week was, you got to believe you can be free. You know, we celebrated July 4th, Independence Day, and all that, freedom. We've got to believe that we can be free from things in the spirit. Free. You know, Jesus said that he came to set the captives free. And so we've got to believe that. And Jesus came and said that he was here to do the will of the Father. And mostly what Jesus did is he taught the word and he healed the sick. That's what he did. And so when we're talking about healing and sickness, instead of being okay with sickness, and some of you are kind of like, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about, and I'm talking to me too. This isn't a finger pointer. This is a, hey, let's all maybe listen, right? Because I do it too, where, you know, a cold or a flu, where you're just like, oh, you know. But we just take it instead of press in and in faith about it. We receive what is. Oh, that's just how it is. It's flu season. Or that's how it is. It's allergies. Or that's how it is. This runs in my family. Or that's how it is. I just don't feel well today. I just don't feel well today. Instead of looking at it and saying, this is sickness. Its root is the enemy. Its goal is to destroy me, to steal from me, and ultimately kill me. And I need to look at it just like that and not just be so accepting of it in my life. No matter how, listen, if you can't believe God for the cold, it's going to be real hard to go when it gets to be something big. You got to practice. You got to build faith up, and we build it up in the small things. So then when big things come, we'll be like, just like David, when he went before Goliath, what did he say? What did he say? I've already done the lion. I've already done the bear. I got this. Amen. Right? And so if we look at sickness like that in every area, whether it's a headache, whether it's a cold, whether it's flu, listen, again, I'm talking to myself too. It's so easy to just take aspirin. And I remember telling this story, and somebody reminded me of it the other day. And it was the very first message I ever preached in my whole life. Very first message. And to have someone remember it is pretty awesome. And it was before I even went to Bible school. That's how long ago it was. And I taught it at a Bible study. And I told a story on myself. I said, you know, I had such a horrible, you know, years and years and years ago, I used to suffer from bad migraines. And I had this migraine. And I was away. I was actually in Tulsa. I was at Get Acquainted with Rhema Weekend. I hadn't even been yet. And I had this horrible headache. And I prayed, and I just prayed. And then I was like, I just need to take some aspirin. I just need to take a couple of aspirin, but I didn't have any. So I went down to the hotel, and I asked them, I said, do you guys have any aspirin? They gave me 2 aspirin. And I just had so strongly in my mind that I just needed a couple of aspirin, right? And so I got the 2 aspirin from the hotel desk, and I put them in my pocket. And I went back to my room. And about an hour later, I was like, oh, thank God for those aspirin. You know, and my headache was gone. And then I reached in my pocket to get something, and guess what was in there? The aspirin. I had so much faith in those aspirin. I never even took them. But I just had it in my mind. Oh, I just, man, I need, and I'm not against aspirin. Believe me, I carry them, I have them, I take them. I'm not against them. But I don't want what had happened to me then and what creeps up on me now is that becomes my source first instead of God.
Amen.
Amen? Those things are fine as long as God is my ultimate source and those come alongside to help when needed. Amen? I'm not anti-medication. I don't want anybody to walk out of here saying that. I believe God uses medicine to help us. He uses it to help us. But the thing is if that's my healer and not Jesus, I'm out of balance.
Yes.
Jesus is my healer and that's my helper. Amen? And so let's turn here to John chapter 5. Let's get our minds straight about sickness. And we talked about this last week. This is such a powerful portion of scripture. Let's see where I want to go. John chapter 5, verse number 1. We talked about this last week. This is the man at the pool of Bethesda. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. Let me just stop right there. There has always been a multitude of sick people. There's always been sick people. And so when we hear that, we got to remember that sickness is nothing new. Sometimes everybody's like, oh, sick, you know, this is here now. It's never been here before. Listen, sickness is sickness.
Yeah.
You know, there's always been sick people. And then it says, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse number 4. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Say whatever. Whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. We talked about this last week. Doesn't matter how long you've had something, Jesus can still heal it. Amen?
Amen?
And he says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And we talked about this last week. We have got to want to be made well. Amen. That's where it starts. It starts in wanting to be made well. We can't be so comfortable in whatever thing that's not well in our life, whether it's our finances, whether it's our mind, whether it's our heart, whether it's our soul, whether it's our body, whatever it is. We can't be so comfortable with unwellness. I know that's not really a word, but unwellness that Jesus has to ask us, do you want to be made well? We've got to look at things that are, I've been meditating on this all week. We have got to look at things that are contrary to the Word of God and be so moved by them that we do not want that in our life. Let's not get so comfortable that we're going to lay around in poverty for 38 years, never having enough, never being blessed, always living paycheck to paycheck. Let's not do that. That is not God's will. It's not God's will. But you know what? We can get so comfortable in it that we don't use our faith for it because we're getting by. We're getting by. Our faith is made not for us to just get by. Our faith is made for us to move from glory to glory. But faith is our part. It's our part. And so we can't get so comfortable in stuff that when there's unwellness in our life in any area where Jesus has to come down and say, do you want to be made well? Do you want to get out of debt? Do you want to have provision for your family? Do you want to be able to be a giver? Do you want to be well in your mind? Do you want to be well in your ability to deal with people? In relationships, or are you going to be the crazy one your whole life? Right? How many know that person? Don't point. Don't point. But, you know, there's just a time where we've got to say, you know, enough is enough.
Right.
I'm not going from drama to drama. I need healing. I need wisdom. I need a backbone. Amen, to change some things. And so let's not have to have Jesus come down and say, listen, you've been in this thing for 38 years. Do you want to be made well? Because all that we need to be made well, we have. We have. Jesus is our, and people always freak out when you say this, but it is a true statement. And if you don't understand the truth of this statement, it just shows you need to grow a little bit. And I don't say that to be mean, because when I first heard it, I was like, what? Man, I'm in trouble then. I'm in trouble. Jesus has already done all that he's going to do. And some people are like, what? I need stuff. No, see, we have it already. We have to use it. We have to release it through our mouths. We have to renew our mind through the Word. And when we renew our mind through the Word, according to 2 Corinthians 5, when we renew our mind, it ultimately will renew our relationships. It ultimately will renew your marriage. It ultimately will renew how you parent. It ultimately will renew everything in your life, because when your mind is made new, everything's made new. So we have it. Jesus has already done it. We just, like Brother Hagin said, my role now, according to when he wrote in the book, The Believer's Authority, which is a fabulous book, you need to read it, my role is to enforce the victory that Jesus already has given me. Amen. That's my job. And I do that through the Word. I do that through speaking the Word, believing the Word. I do that by first I got to get the Word in me. But listen, when it comes to healing and wellness, you will never have faith for wellness in your life until you are so rock solid that it is God's will to heal. You've got to know. Faith begins, always remember this statement, faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith for something if you don't know it's the will of God. And I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. I remember I was teaching in a Bible college class. I had my little class there. It was about 30 people. And they're all eager to learn the Word. And I'm teaching a class on faith and the Word of God and popular topics that are misunderstood through the Word. Misunderstood, that's a good word. And so I'm teaching the class, and I came in, and I began to teach this class that it is not God's will to prosper you. And I did it well. And at first, they were like, and then as I continued, suddenly they're like, turned into, and then I stopped and I said, you have to understand that I just moved you. I moved you off of what you believe to another place. I moved you. And if I can move you in 10 minutes, your faith is not strong enough. And it's not really that your faith is not strong enough. Your foundation of the Word is not strong enough. Amen? It's got to be so weighted and rooted. The Bible says rooted and grounded in the Word. We got to be so rooted. That means it doesn't stop here. It goes all the way down and it holds me down. That's what a root does. It holds me. You got to be rooted in the Word. Where you don't know it because you heard it from somebody else. You know it because you've read it and God has helped you understand it, and now you have a revelation of it. Amen. That's how you know. Because how many know there's preachers out there who preach that you don't need anything. You shouldn't have anything. There's a lot of them. But you know what? That's not what the Word teaches. But if you don't get into the Word and find out for yourself, you will be swayed easily by winds of doctrine. And the Bible says in the last days, there will be false doctrine. It says there will even the elect. That means people that you have listened to before. People that you have heard truth come from before. The Bible says even the elect. That means the big timers. Even the big timers, they will begin to change their doctrine. And that's why if your doctrine is rooted in a person, you're in trouble. Your doctrine needs to be rooted in the Word. Amen. Because people change. People change, but the Word does not change. Amen? Does not change. And so let's keep reading here. All right, here we go. And he says, Jesus says to him, Do you want to be made well? So that's really the first question we've got to ask ourselves. Am I so sick of God's will not being in my life that I'm ready to do whatever he says to walk in the will of God? To walk in the will of God in my marriage? To walk in the will of God in my finances? To walk in the will of God with my family? To walk in the will of God in my job? To walk in the will of God in my body, in my health? Am I ready to say, yes, I've had enough? That's really what Jesus is asking here. Yes, I've had enough of this. And so then he goes, verse number 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. So let's just stop right there. We see a couple things. Now, I'm not picking on the man. I'm not picking on him. But we see a couple things here. Number one, he's able to move. Because he says, when I'm coming. He's able to get there. Because he says, when I'm coming. And I don't have anybody. Let's just say today, let's just make it our point. He was always looking for somebody else to do it for him. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody can believe God for your life like you can. Somebody can intercede for you. Right. We can stand for you for a time. We can stand with you. But ultimately, whatever is coming out of your mouth is determining your life. That's the truth. Whatever you're saying out of your mouth is determining your life. You can have a mama who is praying for you like nobody's business. And that prayer will work, and it will help, and it will protect, and that prayer works. But if you're constantly opening your mouth and counteracting everything that prayer did, God cannot violate your will because your mama is praying for you. Now, there's grace for a season. There is. But the Bible says for you to choose this day. It says out of your mouth, we can choose life or death, right? And so we have got, now listen, I'm not talking about underage kids because I think a parent's prayer, it's going to roll with you because they don't know no better. Because how many know when you're young, you're stupid? You're just stupid. Yeah, you know, and sometimes that lasts a long time, you know? But, I mean, you know, you ever think back, you know, like I was talking to somebody, we're about the same age, and we've grown up, actually it was my sister-in-law, and we're talking, I don't want, you know, be like, wonder who that was. And we were talking about young people, and I said, you know, I said, the thing to always remember is when we were that age, we were stupid too, you know, but she goes, I don't remember that. I go, the problem is, when you're young and stupid, you don't know you're young and stupid. Yeah. You think you're young and filled with worlds of wisdom that nobody else has. That's what you think. And so you don't know until you get older and you look back and you're like, oh, God help me, you know? Thank God for God, right? I mean, you just don't know. But I do believe that a parent's prayer, especially on people that are younger, it's the difference between life and death.
That's right.
Many times, literally, life and death. But as you become your own person, your words are going to have more power. They're going to have more power. And so we've got to make a decision that we can't wait for somebody else to come and put us in. I can't wait for somebody else to come and read my Bible for me. I can't wait for somebody else to come and speak the word for me. I can't wait for somebody else to come and speak confessions over my life. I can't do that. It's great if they do, but I got to do it myself. And so that's what we learn here because, you know, he says, when I'm coming, you know, I've read this story many times. I thought, oh, that poor guy, you know, how is he, and I would think like, well, how is he supposed to get in there? He's lame. But then when I read it one time, it says, when I'm coming, and I thought, he had the ability to get in there on his own. He had it. And so we can't look for other people to do it for us. We got to do it ourselves. Amen. And I'm talking about not do the work because Jesus is a healer. I'm talking about going to God. You got to go to God. You got to go to him for you. You got to get that relationship with him. You can't ride on somebody else's coattails forever. Maybe for a little while, but not forever. Amen? Let's keep going. He says, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Verse number 9. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. And then, you know, the religious people got all bent out of shape because he healed on the Sabbath. But the point of it is, number one, we've got to look at things as they are. Sickness is a tool of the enemy. No matter how little or how big it is, it all comes from the same place. It is not from God. And let's look at a couple of scriptures just to remind everybody. Turn over to, Acts chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I want to read a quote to you from F.F. Bosworth. He wrote a book called Christ the Healer. I believe every believer should read this book. It's not an easy read. It's a little bit, you got to read it a few times, right? You got to read it a couple times. But it will give you the strongest foundation of God's will to heal. Oh, it will just, nobody would ever be able to push you off of it because it is just so well written. It's just the best book. It's called Christ the Healer. But listen to this quote. He says, we see from almost every conceivable angle throughout the scripture that there is no doctrine more clearly taught than it is God's will to all who have need of healing, and that they may fulfill the numbers of their days according to his promise. And so he's saying it's God's will to heal. He says there's no doctrine more clearly taught in the word than that. And you say, well, oh, I don't know about that. You need to get into the word and find out, because F.F. Bosworth is one of the greatest Bible scholars to ever live. And that's his quote. And then turn over to Acts chapter 10. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. We find Acts. Let's not settle for sickness anymore. Amen? Let's not settle for anything that's not God's will in our life. Where do I want to go here? Oh, verse number 38. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I think this verse right here sums up so much of what we need to hear. Number one, we see that God anointed Jesus. And so when people say that it's not God's will to heal, we've got to remember that God anointed, and that word means to empower with divine ability. He empowered him with divine ability to do what? To go about doing good and to heal all, let's look at this next part, who were oppressed by the devil. So where does sickness come from? It comes from the devil. I don't understand why anybody would think that sickness would come from anywhere else. And I cannot even imagine the pain that God must feel when people say that he's the one that puts sickness on babies and kills people. I mean, I just cannot even imagine the pain that he must feel, because that is so contrary to who he is. Amen. You want to know who someone is? How do you find out who somebody is? You ever travel with somebody? Let me tell you something. You travel with somebody. I mean, you may know them, like, oh, you go out to dinner, you hang out, you laugh, you go to the movies. You know, everything's fine. But then you start spending a few days with them. Sometimes it's like, whoa. Where did this come from? It's been there all along. You just never saw it, right? And so if you want to know somebody, you spend time with them. Spend time with them. And if you spend time with Jesus, if you follow him through the New Testament and you see what he did, where he went, what he did the whole time, the 3 years he was walking around, what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's what he did. He never did anything different. He never varied from that purpose. And so now when we come and say, well, I'm not really sure if it's God's will, you know, I think, you know, God is teaching me through this. Well, you know what? You can learn some things through a hard time. I've learned some things through a hard time. I've learned some really valuable life lessons through hard times. But most of those hard times were my own fault, and what I learned was to do it God's way. Amen. Most of those times, I've learned some things through sickness too. But just because I learned from it doesn't mean God put it on me. The Bible says that God will turn what the enemy means for bad, he will turn it for good. And so God's going to say, listen, man, the enemy tried to take you out, but let's turn this from good, and let's you get stronger through this, and you get more compassionate for people through this, and you have more sympathy and empathy for people through this. So that it's so this attack of the enemy is not wasted. I tell you, I have such compassion. I have such compassion. And it's empathy when you've been there too, right? That's the right word. Empathy, which I never had before, for people with back pain. Oh, my goodness. Before, I remember Angie had back pain years ago. And I'd be like, oh, man, that's terrible. I feel so bad for you. And I'd just be like, you know, but then I had back pain. I tell you, I hurt my back, just, you know, very minor, nothing huge. But, I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad.
How bad was it?
Thank you. It was so bad that I could not get up. I could not get up out of bed. If I tried to move, it was excruciating pain. And all I could think of was, if I have to go to the hospital or they have to come, I'm in bed in my pajamas. And I just do not want that to happen. I was just like, Lord, please, please. And so thank God for good friends. And so, and I'd never been sick like that ever. I never had pain like that ever in my whole life. I mean, I broke my elbow and was out the next day hanging out doing fun stuff. You know, I mean, and so Scott called our friend Sue, and she sent somebody over, and they helped me. It was like a massage. But I tell you, after that experience, man, when somebody tells me they have back pain, I'm like, I am so sorry for you. I mean, I understand. Let's pray. Let's believe God. That is the enemy trying to steal your joy. You're moving everything. He's trying to steal everything. That is terrible. I mean, I just have such compassion. But, you know, I didn't need, I understand now where that has helped me, but God didn't do it. God took a bad situation and made it better.
Amen.
Amen. That's what God does. And so never confuse, because you've learned something through a hard time, that God is the author of the hard time. Never make that mistake. That is a mistake. Because Jesus is a healer. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. Turn over to John chapter 14. Let's just make sure we got this in us. We're going to close up here in a minute because we got to give everybody plenty of time to get ready for Billy Joe. John chapter 14. Let's see, where do we want to go? This is a long one. Let's start in verse number 1. We're going to read 1 through 9. You guys ready? It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. How many are glad God's got a place for you?
Yes.
Yep. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go to you, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this is what we want to get to. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? What is Jesus telling him? And he goes on to explain it even more. He's saying, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you ever want to know if something is God's will, ask yourself, does it go in heaven? Would that go in heaven? And then ask yourself the next question. What did Jesus say about it? What did Jesus do about it? healing every single person that came to Jesus. Everyone with no exception. He never turned anyone away. He healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And people say, well, what about those people he couldn't heal in his own hometown? He said he could not do any mighty work there because of their unbelief. See why it's so important that you believe?
Yes.
You got to believe you can be made well. If you don't believe it, it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. And here's one thing I love about the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Because a lot of times we confuse having faith. We want to earn our healing. We want to deserve our healing. And you know what? We don't earn it. You don't say your confession enough times to earn it. It's not like if you say this 100 times, you'll get it. No. We receive by faith, by believing, not by earning, not by deserving, because the enemy will always, say always.
Always.
He will always figure out a way to make you feel like you don't deserve it.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is he's usually right. He's right. When he says, oh, you don't deserve this, because you're like, well, that is true. You know, I was there. I did do that. No, we don't earn things. We don't deserve things. We receive.
Amen.
Amen. I receive healing by faith. And what is faith? Faith is believing that what God's word said is true for me. For me. Because a lot of times we're like, oh, well, that's good for Pastor Scott because he's a good guy. He's a good guy. You know, or that's good for Pastor Angel because they're pastors. You know? No. You got to believe that word is true for you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how undeserving you are, no matter how you do not earn it, you know, no matter how the enemy comes and says, well, you haven't done this and you haven't done that and you don't even know the books of the Bible and you don't even know where scriptures are, that is not how we receive. Because you know what? If we had to do a test of who knew all the books of the Bible, how would we do? We would probably not do well. We'd be like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's all I got, right? Or, you know, Genesis, Exodus. I know it. But the thing is that we don't earn it.
No.
Jesus provides it. Amen? He provides it. When Jesus went on the cross and he bore those stripes on his back, he earned it for me. He took those stripes. I don't have to. I don't have to suffer under sickness to make myself holy. I don't have to suffer under sickness so that people will think I'm so sanctimonious. Yeah, so some people, you know, they want to be poor because they think it makes them holy. Listen, I know a lot of poor people that are not holy. Amen. I know a lot of poor people that are holy at all. Being poor does not make you holy. And it doesn't bring you closer to God. What brings you closer to God is not your income. It's your relationship with Jesus. It's your relationship. And so let's just be like that man at the pool of Bethesda and let's just say, I'm ready. Jesus, you want to be made well? Yes. Yes. Let's not let stuff sneak. The Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. A lot of times it's those little things that are messing up our life, not big things. Little things lead to big things. But it's those little things. Let's take care of those little things so that we have the faith to take care of big things. Amen? And so that we let's just draw a line in the sand and say, that's it. If it's not the word of God, if it's not the will of God, I don't want it in my life. I don't want it. I don't want poverty in my life. I don't want lack in my life. I don't want sickness in my life. I don't want strife in my life. I do not want drama in my life. I want peace in my life. I want a soundness that comes from God. I want to be rooted and grounded in the word. I want him to be my anchor. Amen, like the song we sing. I want that. But we've got to push for that. And you do that not by earning it, not by deserving it, not by clocking in with your relationship with God. You earn it by just drawing close to Him, and He draws close to you. Amen? Let's receive what God has for us. He has healing for you. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord. And Lord, I would ask you to just show each one of us. Maybe there's some things that have snuck in, and maybe we've had them in our lives for so long that we've just grown comfortable with it. We've just started to identify it as part of our life, but it is not your will. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, you're the revealer of truth. And we ask you now to reveal those things to us. Anything that's just, it's just not the way it's supposed to be. Holy Spirit, show us. Show us. And we believe today, we believe that Jesus is the healer of our life. We believe that we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we receive it by faith. We receive it by believing. And so, Lord, help us to see that there may be some stuff in our lives that just doesn't go. Help us to see and help us to believe that you are our healer in that area. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for healing. Healing in our minds. Healing in our souls. Healing in our bodies. Healing in relationships. Healing of our past. Healing in every area of our life, Lord. We receive that now because you are our healer. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there's such a sweet anointing here. Just receive what God has for you. Receive that healing. You've been telling yourself for years, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But you get it anyway. Oh, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, we have been made righteous in Him. Not in our own selves, in Him. Oh, receive it anyway. Say that with me. Say, I receive it.
I receive it anyway.
Because of God's mercy. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are my healer. You are my healer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just believe some people got some deposits today from the Lord. Deposits. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I encourage you, strengthen your belief regarding healing. Strengthen it. Strengthen it. And let's look at sickness for what it is. It is an inconvenience. It is an attack of the enemy. It is a tool to rob me of finances and time and energy and opportunity. Let's look at it for what it is. And let's not stand for it in our lives. Amen? Let's not stand for it. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you're healing us. You're healing us. Glory to God. Oh, ain't God good? He's our healer. He is our healer. Glory to God. I encourage you today, if hearing about healing is something new for you, something new, grab one of the healing packets. We call them healing packets at the Connection Center. And inside of it is a CD, right? And it has all the scriptures in the Bible, not all of them, but a lot of them, on healing. Also has a couple of books in there on healing. It has a confession sheet about healing, and it will help you. It's a good place to start. They're free. We don't charge for them. And I just encourage you, grab one of them. Now, just take one. Don't take a whole ton, you know. Grab one and strengthen your belief on healing. Because your faith will never be stronger than your beliefs. Right? Never. And so strengthen it. All right, here we go. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings. Who's ready for that? Glory.